Everybody's doing good. I love that you're all connecting. We'll be here for a long time today because there's food, so connect later. I did want to take a second as we do this legacy offering and kind of to chat with you a little bit about it. I really wrestled with where to put it in the service. I didn't want to do it out of worship because I don't want to manipulate anything. The goal was that each family would ask the Lord how to sow into the future of this body. You know, Ted and Joyce are going to share after the offering just the journey of the 18 years. The anniversary is technically in June, but nobody's here in June. For those of you that were here, you are important. So I think almost every September we'll go ahead and celebrate our journey, whatever it looks like in that season. We'll have a Legacy Sunday, and you all can relax. We're not going to expect a $40,000 offering every time we do it. Cool. But, you know, that's about where we're at with pledges. We're in good shape to make some kind of offer on the new building. So anyway, the legacy offering, like I said, I really wrestled where to put it in the service because I don't just want to have it be just this quick thing, because for a lot of us, it's the largest seed we ever sowed. You know, it's not a check that I write every day. I know for a lot of you, it's not that way. And I wanted, you know, it was coming out during worship because I've been thinking about it all week. Like, you're actually sowing a seed. Now, don't be confused. You're not giving to God to get something, but you're sowing a seed into this body, and the fruit of that seed should be in this place. Does that make sense? So you should have an expectation to see a result, to see growth of the seed that you sowed. And it should overflow. It should overflow into your family, into your job. You should have an expectation when you sow a seed to receive a harvest. If, you know, some of you guys have gardens. I don't have one because my dad has one, so there's really no need. Isn't that amazing? That'll preach too. Anyway, it's just like it would be foolish for them to go out and plant the seed and not have an expectation to reap a harvest. At our house, we have a couple tomato plants in a pot. And every year, my wife buys them from a big box store. And every year, they grow. And maybe we get a tomato or two tomatoes. And that's my expectation of those tomatoes. But my father, at his yard, tomatoes just come up because rotten tomatoes fell on the ground. And he's like, what do I do with all these tomatoes? So have an expectation as you sow the seed that you're going to see a harvest where you're like, I don't know what to do with all this. You know, and what's really funny is the way that Ted has taught this so many times over the course of me being here, seed time and harvest. It's like, just like what I just said about my father's garden, those rotten tomatoes actually yield more. So it's like there's no lack, there's no waste. So anyway, I did want to speak just a little more into this, but if you've brought something to sow into the legacy offering, I just thought maybe it'd be cool if we stuck it in our hands, you know, so hold your spouse's hand. I want to share a little bit. I know it's been a journey for everybody. I've heard awesome testimonies of God's provision, of God providing it. And I've also heard a lot of stories of just kind of resistance to sowing the seed. And I have one that I really want to share with you. And it's this. I received a collection notice in the mail. I don't get collection notices. I have a credit score of more than 800, and we pay all our bills. And it was for a fair amount of money, and it didn't say what it was all about. And actually, it was in Kathleen's name, so I was like, what's going on? And it turns out it's from our dentist. And I was kind of like, well, I intend to give this seed to the legacy offering, and I actually am not comfortable paying that dental bill because I think it leaves my family in a vulnerable position if, like, the furnace would break or something, you know, car-related would happen. And so, you know, I call up the dentist, and I have a lot of trouble getting a hold of somebody that can help me. And after about 2 or 3 days, now we've determined in our heart that we're going to give this no matter what's going on with the dental bill. And we even, I mean, you can see it from here. I stuck a cash bill in there because I was frustrated. I'm going to give more than I did it. And so long story short with the dentist, turns out that on my account, which for some reason they're not the same, I have a large credit. So at some point, instead of applying it to her bill, they applied it to mine and they set it to collections. And so we get this all worked out, and I think it's all worked out. And I log on to our bank last night, and what they had said was they had to refund me the money so I could pay it to Kathy's account. So whatever, that's fine. We can do all that. And so I log on, and instead of a refund, they've charged me. So now my account has a very large credit. I could get lots of dental work done. And my wife is in collections. Like, I just kind of put her as not part of me somewhere else in collections. So, and that's been how this has been going. So I'm eager to get this out of my hand because I just want to be done. And if anyone has a good dentist you'd like to recommend, I my wife needs one. I have lots of dental money at our dentist. So anyway, one thing I did want to say is I want to be super intentional to keep these funds separate from the operating budget, so you may see a little bit of a delay on this check being cashed. Just want to be sure it's in a separate account. It's the purpose of this is to get us into a church home, not to have better coffee. You guys okay with that? So there might be a short delay. We're going to get that worked out as fast as we can. So everyone holding your seat? All right, so Father, we thank you for an opportunity to establish your kingdom here in this area. Lord, we ask that you would move among us, that you would bring the increase, that you would bring the harvest, that you would provide everything we need in order to move forward. Lord, we just pray for clarity as you lead us. Lord, we just pray that we would see a harvest on the seed. We have an expectation to see a harvest that is more than enough to do what you want to do among us and to give into every good work. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. And I just want to put an action to that, and that's why I stuck the basket here. I'm going to go ahead and move. Just go ahead and come up and put it in. And then Ted and Joyce are going to share the wonderful story of Rock with us. Hey, thanks everybody for believing in this place. And you're going to hear a great story of all the stuff that's happened. All of it, all 18 years. That's why there's lunch.
Yeah, at least 18. At least 18. All right. Maybe. All right. Well, this is wonderful. This is special to get Joyce up here. So, welcome, everyone. I'm glad you're here. A lot of you have been around for some time, but some of you, I'm sure, don't know the whole story. And we're going to go back a little ways, if you don't mind, to kind of set the stage of why we got into ministry in the first place, or how we got into ministry in the first place. And then we're going to move on into how the Lord brought us up here to PA and where we're at specifically this place. I grew up Mennonite, went to Southern Mennonite Church. For those of you who know the area, well, you know where that is. And at one point in time, myself and a bunch of my friends who I'd grown up with, I mean, in nursery school all the way up through, we were now 20, 23, 24 something, and we had a stirring to find out, to discover, to explore more of the Spirit than what we had experienced. She thinks she's going to cry, so she's getting tissues. So we wanted to know more of what was out there. We had good, solid foundations that were laid in the Mennonite church. And we never had a problem at all with our upbringing. It's just that we knew there was more. We just didn't know how to access it. And so we set out on a little bit of a radical journey to try and figure it out, try and discover it. We had our kind of rogue Bible studies, trying to, you know, explore Scripture in a way that we hadn't been exposed to in our rather safe lessons that we had in Sunday school and that type of thing. And so Joyce and I had a carpet cleaning business at that time. I'm still proud of the fact Moyer Services out there on Godshall Road is still around. I started that back in 1988 and sold. Thank you. And then sold it in 1992 when we went on to a different part of our journey. However, back then I was cleaning carpets in homes. I got a call from a guy in Lansdale who had moved here from New York. He was a Pentecostal preacher. And he had nothing in his home except a bunch of study, Bible study aids. And went there, cleaned his carpet, started talking to him, and he invited us out to... I think he invited himself to our place to meet Joyce and whatnot. Very charismatic, nice, very nice guy, Steve Gibney. He's still around. He lives in Jersey, I think. And he was very, very comfortable and very experienced with the things of the Spirit. So we met him in our place, and we then became a part of a house church that was started down in the home of the folks that own the Peter and Christine Friedrich, that own the William Penn Inn. That's it. And we began to experience things. We began to hear teachings and experience things that were outside of our comfort zone, but that were leaning more into this journey of discovering the things of the Spirit that my friends and I had launched into. And then finally, it's like we began really experiencing the stuff that was unexplainable, the stuff where your mind tried to convince yourself that there had to be a logical explanation to what you just saw or what you just experienced. But deep down you knew there was no logical explanation other than God did something outside of your control. He did something that could only be done by His Spirit. And we went back to, maybe more particularly I went back to the Bible study group and my friends. And I was excited, told them about everything that was going on, and that began the clear but confusing separation between my lifelong friends, who I thought we were in on this together, and their discomfort at the things of the Spirit. They love the idea of searching for more, but when it came down to experiencing it, it was too uncomfortable for them, and so they decided just to continue searching for it while we veered way into, in their terms, left field, and began experiencing it. So that began, that's what really began everything, and we graciously came out from among them. We came out from the Mennonite church. We blessed them as we left and had some very good conversations with some of the leaders who were very clear-minded that unless they began experiencing and bringing the church into that type of a dynamic walk with the Holy Spirit, that they were fairly convinced that they would begin losing losing the life, losing the it would just become another religious movement. And the thing that inspired me most actually was the writings of Menno Simons, of course, is the father of the Mennonite Church. He experienced a lot of the stuff that we were now experiencing. And I tried to get people to read the book of Menno Simons, which is the denomination they were in, and it still couldn't quite break through. So we went from Mennonite to full-blown Pentecostal.
Holiness Pentecostal.
Holiness Pentecostal.
Uncut hair, no makeup.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, we were pursuing the things of the Spirit. But so we took what came along with it, if that makes sense to you.
And I don't regret any of it. It was a process the Lord took me through that I needed to go through, so...
Yeah, yeah. So we got rid of the TVs. They called them the one-eyed demons. That's what it was. One-eyed demons. So we got rid of the. Yeah, no, we're gonna keep moving. But this part is pretty entertaining. We got rid of the TVs and shifted everything pretty dramatically. And that raised some flags with Dad and Mom. And of course, my brothers thought we had gone way over the deep end. But Dad and Mom were concerned, from a parent's point of view, legitimately so. I mean, I understand why they would have been concerned. But they began seeing, through a series of supernatural events, we decided that we were going to move from Telford, 2 miles from Dad and Mom and now grandparents. We had two children at that point, Mark and Nicole. And we were going to move.
And I was pregnant.
And she was pregnant with our third. Move from there to Wisconsin, a mere 1,000 miles to the Midwest. And it was the only grandchildren of my parents. I didn't understand that until now that we're grandparents. And we moved there under the auspices that we were going to run a home for unwed mothers, which is our life had shifted from business to service. And at that point, we didn't have a clear understanding of how the two could have been married together nicely. We thought it was one or the other. And it's okay. It's a part of the journey. So we moved out to Wisconsin to manage a home for unwed mothers. Now, I'll fast forward 8 years, which is then when we get to here. Out there, we... because we were separated from family by 1,000 miles, we came east once a year, I think. And so we had a lot of holidays we celebrated out there with our new family. We started involved ourselves in a Bible study in the first year. That was turned over to us with a man. It was a man from Africa. He had asked us to take it over, and that emerged into a fellowship, a church, people that kept saying, start something, do something, more than a Bible study. So that emerged into the birth of Victory Christian Fellowship, VCF. And we saw the same things we were seeing here, we saw there. There was healings. We had, I don't want to go into all the details, but we saw a lot of salvations, people that were baptized in a god-awful pond that was covered with green scum. But we would walk into that, and we would just push the scum away and baptize people.
In the middle of the night?
Any time of the day or night. Or a horse trough. Not that it was dirty, but it was a horse trough. Places that they would get baptized. Whenever it would happen is when it would happen. middle of the night, middle of the day, weekends, holidays. And so Dad and Mom would come out and visit at least once a year. They would come out and visit, and they would meet all of our new friends who would tell their stories. And that this created a profound backdrop, a contrast between what Dad and Mom were experiencing here and what their kids who had moved 1,000 miles away, son and daughter-in-law who had moved 1,000 miles away, were experiencing. And the contrast couldn't have been more different. People, every time they would come out, new people who were sharing their story about how they met the Lord, how they were healed, how they were delivered, they were baptized, whatever it may have been. And so after those 8 years, long before that, but Dad and Mom came to the conclusion that what was happening in their son and daughter-in-law's and their grandchildren's lives were true, it was real, it was godly, and it was far different than what they were experiencing here.
Besides, there were some dreams that would happen that I would get that were things that, and I'd ask his parents about, you know, is this happening with such and with a brother or with something? And they go, oh, no. And then the next week, the thing I dreamt about, the brother talked to them about. So God was really showing his power. And they're really open now. I mean, they are so open to the gifts and prayer. Yeah. And so.
Yeah. So that was part of the early part of the journey. Now we get to the point of moving back east, which we were excited to do. We knew that time would come. We knew our season, our time out there was a season. And through a series of dreams and prophetic encounters that we had, we knew the timing was right to move out here and to plant Victory, but became Rock, what we know as Rock. My father introduced me to Jamie Allabach. Many, of course, of you know him. And he and Dan and Donna Freed, Dan is my first cousin, became the core of individuals that planted the new, young, small, different fellowship. We spent our time in various places. Joyce wrote them down. And just so you know, Joyce mentioned the dreams, the prophetic encounters that we had. That,
before.
Yeah.
Well, we were, Ted's ordained through Morning Star Ministry. That's Rick Joyner in North Carolina. And we would go down there on a regular basis, and we were real close with the person who did most of all the training in the prophetic, because you got to remember back then it wasn't as popular as it is today. But this person's name was Steve Thompson. We would stay with them when we would go down, and I had just had this dream. We were living in Wisconsin. I had just had this dream about one of Ted's high school and college friends, and told Ted the dream. Ted went to visit him, talked to him all about, you know, what was going on in his life, and it was exactly what was happening in the dream. And I won't go into all that. So when we were talking to Steve about it, Steve said, hey, Ted, I want you to share this at the next training that I'm going to do because of, you know, it's just a great example. So when Steve introduced Ted, he said, this is Ted Moyer. He's going to be planting a church in Pennsylvania. And when we were driving home from there, we're like, why did he introduce you that you're planting a church in Pennsylvania? You pastor a church in Wisconsin. It was like, why would he even say that? And so that was like the seed, I think, that we really are going back and we really are going to be planting this church. So then the next thing, Steve would come out to our church in Wisconsin and he would do a prophetic training. And when he came out, he said, I was driving him somewhere. He said, Joyce, it's not time. It's just not time for you guys to go. I don't want you to think it's time to go back to Pennsylvania. So the Lord was really working with us through this process. And then Ted was on a trip, and I had this dream about a house was ready for us in East Greenville. Now, you got to remember, I mean, you don't know, but we lived here But I never went above Telford. I mean, I'd go to Quakertown, but never like where we live now, Green Lane and East Greenville and all that stuff. I didn't even know that really existed. I remember Ted Kahn saying, is there an East Greenville? And so then we knew it was time. God had the house ready for us, and that was basically right before we decided to move back.
Yep. Yeah, she grew up in Springhouse down in Gwynedd, right by Gwynedd Mercy College High School. So we had no idea, really, East Greenville or whatever it may have been up there. that I got to tell you that just sometimes when you understand how profound the Lord talks, it helps inspire you to know that God can talk to you in that way. So the dream that you had about my high school friend and college roommate was that he had been in a mental institution for X number of days. And the dream had something to do with his grandfather being in the room with him, and that there was he was afraid. There was some type of a fear between himself and his grandfather, the connection there. And so we knew that it was something important that I needed to talk to my friend about. So I called him. His mom said he's not here. So he called me back, and I said, my wife had this dream. You were in a mental institution for X number of days, and there's a fear that there's something you need to be delivered. You need to be delivered from between you and your grandfather. And he had just come out of a I won't go into all the detail, but he had just come out of a 3-day, a 72-hour. Involuntary deal in a mental institution because he had mentioned something about suicide, which is what his father had done. His father committed suicide. And so that was important to him. It was a dream that actually helped him experience more freedom. But it was something that, because of how it was brought to us, or in the season that we had it with this whole theme of moving back to Pennsylvania, we knew that God was speaking to us very clearly about, okay, it caused us to be very clear-minded that God is talking to us about moving back. The only question was when. So with that said, June we moved. I think July 1 or whatever it was, June, July, we started Rock. And they had a send-off for us out there, just to give you an idea, that people paid money to throw pies in my face. That was a part of the program.
And your mom won that one.
My mom paid the most to throw a pie in my face. It was, yeah.
She loved it.
She loved it.
I have a picture of it.
Yeah. Anyway, so we get back to Pennsylvania, and we start.
At the Potter's House.
We start Rock at the Potter's House. Anybody remember the Potter's House in Salerton? Yeah, some of you do. It was a youth outreach started by Tim Price, and it went on for a few years, 2 or 3 years. We would meet there on Sundays and do ministry there throughout the week. But that's where we started. We met there for probably 6 months. Mm-hmm. It wasn't terribly long. And from there we went to where?
The old Pennview.
The old Pennview Christian School, which is now Indian Valley Opportunity Center. Yeah. That's right. So we met in the gym there. Which is soon after Hopewell had moved out of the gymnasium. We met in that gymnasium. And Joyce, talk a little bit about the importance of the gym. And
yeah. So we were meeting in this gym, and we were praying about the church and praying and about our young people, because we had, you know, our children were young, and we had a bunch of young kids at that point. And the Lord gave me this vision to kick the adults out of the gym and do a once-a-month gym Sunday. And we would just, and that's what we just, I introduced it, and they said, yeah, it's a great idea. So the adults would go in the classrooms, a big classroom, and then we would do Gym Sunday. And it was the most fruitful, Tiffany, you remember? It was the most fruitful. It was definitely the Lord, because it was so fruitful. We had so many kids that would come. It was games, but we would have a short little talk. We had so many kids come to the Lord. In fact, at some point, it felt like we had more kids in the church than we did have adults. And so it was really, it was quite, and I kind of started it, and then Robert, he took over, because he was great. And we did a lot of things with our
Robert
young,
Buckman.
Robert Buckman. He's been around for a long time. Deanna, she's been around since she moved in with us when she moved in from Honduras.
Yep.
I mean, not Honduras, Ecuador.
Yep.
Yep. So she's our daughter.
So when she moved in, our kids would read to her out of their children's books, which is
dictionary,
a picture dictionary to teach her English. She knew just a little bit, so they would teach her out of that. So she lived with us when we lived in Harleysville, right across from Hennings. The house isn't there anymore. She lived in an in-law suite for a good year.
Yeah, until we moved.
Until we moved.
So while we were at the old Penn View, then that's when you were introduced to Honduras. Somebody introduced you and Jamie to Honduras, and that's how that started, Honduras. You went out there and fell in love with it and decided that you wanted to plant a church there, you and Jamie.
Yeah.
So after that, then we moved to... After Pennview, we moved to the middle school.
What's the middle school there in Sallerton? What was it? Franconia Elementary, sorry. Yep.
So I just wrote down a couple things that... So during that time while we were there at the school there, there was a big outpouring at Lakeland, Florida. I don't know if anybody heard about that. But we were experiencing some of that same stuff there. It was pretty... exciting, but it was, you know, it was a 50-50 about people who received it and people who were like, whoa, this is just not cool. It was, when that outpouring, you can't really control, I mean, you could control it, but you don't want to control it. And some things happen that are just crazy and some things aren't. So that was going on then. The other thing that was birthed is back then the Lord gave me a vision of doing a 24-hour of prayer and worship. And I contacted Kurt Malizzi from Hopewell, and I talked to Noel Santiago. And they were said, yep, we're with it. You go, you get it together, and we're with you. And I'm like, okay, we'll do that. So by the grace of God, we were able to get started, and we had 3 years of this 24 hours of worship and prayer. I was excited after we moved into this building, we could finally host it here because we could never host it. It was really, we would go to all the churches for that.
But the real profound part about that is that there were church groups and denominations that had never cross-pollinated with anyone outside of their denomination or their network. And so it really was, it was a historic shift in this region for particularly a lot of the Mennonite churches that had never cross-pollinated in that sense. So it really was profound and important for this region to be able to network outside of their small family of like-minded individuals.
It was awesome because some would be, you know, it would be your typical Sunday morning, like in a Mennonite church, their worship, and then you'd have really contemporary, but it was just so beautiful, the difference. I just loved every set, no matter who was leading. It was just great. Another thing we were involved in was club worship. We had somebody here, one of your friends was here. from club worship. And we used to go there. Robert used to go.
Who are you pointing to?
Matt. You had a friend who was from club worship. I forget his name. Oh, you do too. he came and preached one Sunday, and he mentioned club worship.
That's where
he was from. Yeah. I forget his name. So we used to take our
Joel.
Our young people, our young kids, every once
over
a month.
To Pottstown.
Reading.
To Reading,
this club worship, which was really cool. They'd have strobe lights, and they'd be playing Christian music, but they'd be dancing. But our kids loved it. They looked forward to it every
year.
So we'd have 3 or 4 cars going with all these kids. So now we finally, next thing is this. We bought this building.
Oh yeah, right. So then we bought the building in Telford, and here's the layout. I know you can't see it. We'll pass it around. But it was designed as a cafe, kind of a mixture of a cafe, which would have been open every day. It was right in the middle of Telford.
By the town
restaurant. And the reason we bought the building and we spent money on plans and everything was because the town council said, yeah, it sounds great. And then after we bought the building and we did the plans, the town council said, nope, don't want it anymore. So we were left holding the building and spending probably $5,000, $7,000 on plans. And what had happened was another church that was close by didn't want some of their space infringed upon. And because they had been there forever, they had a lot of sway with the town council. Their turf. So we said we can either fight this or...
We didn't know Bob then. Maybe if we had Bob.
If we knew Bob, we would have been like, No. we didn't want to fight among the brethren. So that was that.
So then we moved into this. That's another whole story. We won't go into all that. This building needed to be totally renovated. Ted worked day and night, night and day. Other people did too, but my husband worked like a crazy person. I had to ask the leaders.
I had more flexibility.
I had to ask the leaders to please do a little intervention because it was crazy. So, they told him he couldn't work as much as he was. So we finally moved into here. And the other thing that I have written down is, so our young people, we used to have so many young people. I mean, it was crazy. And then they kind of got a smaller group. But then we had this, like, spontaneous, Lydia was involved in this, and Brandon, he was part of it, and Matt was a part of it, where they started this worship night, this worship thing, and they would meet at Java on Main Street, and kids from the town and all over just would just come and be a part of this amazing night of work. They were worshiping, it was awesome. And we didn't want it, we would be there, but we didn't want to lead it. We really wanted it to be youth-led. And to be honest, having it youth-led can be very messy. Very messy. Right, Matt? It was messy. It was very messy. It was great. I mean, it was awesome. We were trusting the Lord. You look back and think, how could we have done that better? But there was a lot of kids that got saved. They might not be here at Rock. They're going to other churches.
Right.
And that's the most important. It's not really, I mean, it's nice to have people here, and I'd love to have more people. But if they're serving the Lord somewhere else, praise God.
Right.
And if we were a part of sowing of that, that's all that we needed to do. So, just a couple other things. We would hold youth conferences every year. And notice we did a lot of things. We did a lot of things with youth. That's really what our big thing. We just focused a lot on our youth. Morningstar would come and they would bring a dozen kids and we would do training here every summer. you know, guys know John Mark McMillan. Well, he came here before he became the John Mark McMillan. He was here doing some of his
music.
We
made him famous. Yeah, basically.
So, I think that's it. And now we're here.
Yeah, so along the way, and we won't go much longer here, but along the way, when we first moved here, we had Mark and Nicole and myself and Jamie were main parts of the worship band. Okay. But, you know, probably when it comes down to serving in some capacity at Rock, Mark has been doing that the longest with serving with drumming on the worship team. Nicole has since moved on. Her and her husband fellowship in Salerton, which were Telford. Thankful they're serving the Lord. Rachel
She's
and
back to worshiping again.
Yeah, Rachel and Kevin are here at times. Yeah, and then beyond that, I think Tiffany has been serving the body of Christ the longest among us. And those, you know, that's not to. Let me finish this one thought before I finish that thought. When Joyce and I talk about what our journey, it's really not. It's not ours. It's ours, and it includes a number of you here who have been here for quite some time.
Robert and Michelle.
Robert and Michelle, for sure, they've been here quite some time. It includes people who are no longer here, but who were instrumental and vital in the first number of years. And so now we get to this point in the life of this ministry, and Joyce and I because we just love family so much. In fact, we can't stay with you that long after service because my parents have their 60th wedding anniversary today. We felt like that's pretty important, so we're going to attend that. But we're also torn as to not being here among you. Now, with that said, our journey in life has brought us to a point of being grandparents. And because we're so, family has such a dynamic impact on us, we felt as though it's time to become grandparents to the church. And that means that, you know, as grandparents, it's awesome again because you can, it's even better because you can spoil the kids and not have to worry, right? Those of you who are grandparents, those of you who are grandparents, you know, you can spoil the kids.
We don't spoil them, no.
I know, but it's fun. It is fun. The point is that when you become grandparents, your children are the ones who take the reins, so to speak. And so we're in process of Matt and Kat, which is why you've been seeing Matt up here quite a lot. There's a full leader team, but Matt and Kat are taking the reins as shepherds of Rock. And the leader team is, you know, we all do our part. And so Joyce and I we're stepping back, we're not stepping away. We're just stepping back, we're just going to enjoy being grandparents. So we'll support where we're asked to, and certainly participate in everything that we can. But we've come to that stage. In fact, a lot of you know Bill Perry, right? Bill Perry down in South Carolina. We'll get him up here in the not too distant future. He is a lot freer now because, unfortunately for him, and very sincerely, unfortunately for him, his season of pastoring had come to a close, but he didn't have any leaders, anyone among his fellowship that he could turn the reins over to. And so I think it was 2 weeks ago now, they had a last Sunday celebration, and they've closed the facility. It's a shame. But his gift goes with him. He's in the consulting industry now. He's doing great at it, but he carries that gift of the word with him. So we're going to have him up here, and you'll enjoy it immensely.
But it really is awesome that we do have somebody that's willing to step up.
So we're celebrating that from among the body of Christ, among the family here, we're able to hand over the reins, and it's healthy. It's something that gives us hope for longevity of the body of Christ. Not because, just because it's family. Not that Rock somehow becomes, massive whatever, and we can say, hey, we started Rock. It's that family stays together and grows, and we're able to celebrate, watch the children grow up, and grandchildren come along. You guys are grandkids, by the way. and just enjoy the interaction, the relationships throughout our lives, as long as the Lord gives us together and for the future. Yeah. Yeah, let's pray.
Yeah, thank you for sitting through our babbling.
Yeah, if you have any questions too, don't hesitate to ask us. We're happy to share. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. 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 A lot of relationships along the way. A lot of sometimes real short seasons, but they were important, vital. Yeah.
We did a 24 there a couple times too.
I remember Jerry and Wilma, encouraging us to do the 24 and coming and doing it. In fact, I was working in the church office over there, and I remember asking who I was supposed to get in touch with.
Can I just tell a funny story about the 24s? Because we had a lot of kids, and Brandon was a part of this. I saw them, but I have to. And every time we'd go to a 24, the kids, these young boys would come, and there would always be something that we'd walk away like, oh, God, please don't let the church know that they did that or whatever. It was one of the churches, they went in, and one of the bathrooms had powder, and they must have sprayed the powder. And then they walked out of the bathroom. There were footprints on the floor, and I'm thinking, all these real nice churches, and we have these crazy, wild boys.
Yeah. Usually Brandon was at the center of it.
He usually was.
Not every time, but...
But I always would want them to come because I was hoping God would touch them somehow.
Always
I was hoping.
Yeah. And for individuals that you know, maybe it's family members that are not in a place that ultimately you know they should be or could be, I just want to tell you, never lose hope. As long as there's breath in their lungs, never lose hope. Life is messy. The older you get, the more you understand that. And to try and artificially create this artificial ordered you know, ordered life with no mess is just, it's artificial. It's not real. Life is messy. And so just never lose hope and perfect love along the way. Perfect love. All right, let's... All right, let's pray. Jesus, we're grateful for the stories that you give us, all of us. We're thankful for the journeys, the ways that you have protected us, the favor you've shown upon us, the mercies, your kindness, your great grace, the times when your goodness just so overshadowed what we deserved. We are grateful that you adopted us as your children, and that you have been a true father to us. God, we not only thank you for the past and the ways that you have shown yourself to be true, to be strong, powerful, to be faithful, but we now ask you, God, for the future, for what lies ahead, that you would continue to direct our steps at times when we fail to seek your heart, that you would shine your kindness upon us, that you would continue to exercise your patience, God, that we would see, we would eventually see your hand at work in so many areas of our lives. Father, we speak a blessing over Rock, over those who have labored over the years and are no longer among us, those who have labored over the years and continue to be a part of the family, and those that will be co-laborers among us in the years to come. We ask God for wisdom for the leadership as it moves forward, and that in all things, whether it's in the administrative side, whether it's in the simple ways that we serve each other, whether it's in the preaching, the worship, the audio visual, whatever it is, Father, that we would do what we do out of service to you, service to each other, and that in all things we would glorify you. We ask, God, that this food would bless our bodies, strengthen us with it. Let the time of fellowship among us be sweet today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey guys, we had a couple of things we wanted to give Ted and Joyce, if those are around. And then I just wanted to invite you guys to come up, and we just want to pray for them and bless them. In the season of stepping back, it's still a new season, and we want to see the Lord move on them. So if you guys want to come up, we just want to pray for them and bless them. If anybody wants to come and pray. Prophesy and speak forth the Lord. Gather all around. One of the things that's been really fun, you know, in all the different seasons, Ted is still the favorite speaker. If you go online and look at the podcast, he has the most downloads. And if he gets in a busy season and isn't scheduled, or we get a lot of guests in, people contact me from places like Texas and ask when Ted's speaking again. So it's amazing. So let's just pray. Father, we just declare a blessing, Lord. We declare a harvest over Ted and Joyce. Every seed that's been sown, Lord, in this season of their life, we just pray it would come to pass, that it would bear fruit. Lord, that you would just send out angels to bring forth that harvest.
Father, I thank you for Ted and Joyce, who are parents to so many, who have shepherded so many, and who have just planted love inside so many, and it's never gone to waste. I thank you for their faithfulness to protect. They're so good. Thank you for the legacy they continue to sow. I thank you for this season that they've just prayed for, to be grandparents, this blessing. Thank you so much for them. Thank you for their encouragement and their wisdom. Yes, I pray that they just feel how much of a blessing they have been to so many. I just thank you for them.
And continue to give. Lord, for my personal remembrance today, Lord God, of the strength of family. And I thank you, Father, for this opportunity today to just be a part of it. And knowing that you're the head, and knowing that Ted and Joyce have done their part, and continue, Lord, but have done their part, Lord, to help us all become stronger in our own walk with you, and how they have so selflessly given of themselves. I thank you, Lord, for the many crowns that are awaiting them, but for this opportunity today just to acknowledge it. Face to shine upon them all the days of their lives, and on their children and on their children's children from now until forever. Thank you, Jesus. Generations, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I thank you for these generations. And I even thank you, Lord, for bringing me here today. I just felt compelled to come, and I just bless Joyce and Ted. I love their example of family, even, you know, their family dinners that they have in their home, and how much they love their children and all the other people and children that they just take as their own. So I just pray blessings on them. And the scripture that was on my heart all week I've been praying is it's Jeremiah 32:27. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too difficult for me? So, Lord, I just do pray blessings on Rock and the future, and the future for all these young people. I thank you for the privilege to be able to come to your throne room of grace and just lift them up and their children up. And I'm just excited about what you're going to do, Lord. And we, Kevin and I were at a coffee house in our area at Christ Home. And Kevin looked around and he said, Ted and Joyce, this is exactly what they wanted to do. So I just pray that all the dreams and all the visions have come to pass in different ways, in different areas, and through different people, Lord. So I just pray for blessings to each and every one that's ever been associated with Rock. From the north, the south, the east, and the west, I thank you that Ted and Joyce have empowered and trained people and let them go so that your word and your kingdom can spread throughout our land. And I thank you for all the salvations, for all the healings, for all the miracles,
And I just give you all the honor and the glory, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. See a farm lane. Gravel path going down. Cornfields on both sides. See you two old hands walking down. Sun setting. And they hear the word peace. And they hear the word a cord of three strands cannot be broken. You two and the Lord is that church. Says, as you move on in this time, you're not done. It's just moving on to another spot. As Moses was 80 when he was out there, it was his time to move on to another spot. As Abraham was sitting there, and he was up in his, as he was a grandparent, and the Lord called him, it was in his time, another time. So, Lord, we ask you just to bless them, Joyce. Bless their marriage, Joyce. Love for each other grow more than it's ever been before.
Yeah.
And let the relationships with the children, the physical ones and the spiritual ones, grow stronger and stronger each and every day. Ask you to put your hand of protection upon them. Bind those, let that three cords, you and them too, your marriage, grow stronger and stronger each and every day.
Yeah.
That it may not even be a rope anymore, but it would be a steel cable.
Yeah.
So strong a steel cable.
It's strong.
Lord, I just thank you for putting Ted and Joyce in this place and they're all now in this place. You spoke to them and they have the will to listen, to create a place for me to come to grow in my faith that I never thought was possible. They created a place through you. I met my wife, I met my child, bring my brother, my sister. Thank you for the example of being a godly father and mother.
So, Father, we thank you for those that have gone before us and for all the seed that's in the ground and all the existing plants and things, and we just call forth the fruit in the next season.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you that you bring the increase. And we thank you that you speak to us and you lead us. And we thank you for the family.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Attention, please. Darby is here next week.